morning, 738 News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, our congressman and congressman re-elect now, Matt Gaetz. Matt, congratulations on winning re-election.
Oh, thank you, Andrew, and thank you to the great folks in Northwest Florida who gave me my performance review. You know, the voters are the bosses, we're the servants, and it's always great to have about two-thirds of the folks that you're working for offer to give you their trust and send you back to work.
Yeah, no, most definitely. I mean, it was not a surprise, but you still have to play. You still have to do the thing. You know, you still have to get to the result. So congratulations on re-election. Also, when did you have coronavirus? Do you know?
I don't exactly know. I did get a test on Friday, and I tested negative for the virus but positive for the antibodies. So I guess I did have it at some point. I'm not symptomatic, and certainly I'm glad to have the antibodies. I probably, if everybody in America took an antibodies test, we'd find that a lot more folks have it that don't. But, you know, it's something when the Washington media thinks that, like, just because you're a congressman, you're their own little science experiment to check. But I'm glad to be virus-free and antibody-heavy.
That's right. That's the way to be. We'd all like to be on the other side of it without having gone through it, especially with adverse consequences. The main thing, obviously, right now that we're all thinking about is the election. Newt Gingrich says it's been stolen. There's a lot of people who believe that the election is by far not over. I know you're very close to the Trump folks. What is happening right now? Where are we?
I do believe that there are bases for investigation. I mean, look, when you see that there are thousands of votes in a software system that have been changed, it's worthy of review. When you see that, you know, maybe 28,000 ballots show up that only go one direction, that seems a little fishy to me. But I was so angry when Democrats would not attend President Trump's State of the Union or inauguration, when they refused to engage in substantive discussion because they just wanted to delegitimize him. And no matter what way this election is ultimately resolved by courts, Northwest Florida's congressman will not engage in that behavior. I don't believe that it's classy. I don't believe that it's patriotic. I think that there is a legal process. It should be followed. I'm realistic about how that's likely to go. And if, in fact, Joe Biden is the next president of the United States, I want our country to be successful during that tenure. You know, to me, America first means you have to love the country more than you dislike any of its politicians. And I think that we've got an opportunity to be more respectful and more helpful to our nation than perhaps Democrats were during the last 4 years of the Trump presidency.
It's so weird because you're saying what I've been saying for the last 2 hours, 2.5 hours. It's like, it's bizarre. I mean, I didn't know what you would say exactly, but it's almost identical to what I've been saying, which is, you know, I think we most likely lost. It's not entirely over, but most likely. And I hope that we do well. And just because they did to us doesn't mean that we should do back to them. I fully agree with you about that. Are any of
there are Republicans, though, Andrew. There are Republicans who think that the only acceptable response is to, you know, move into a resistance structure for 4 years and to oppose everything the Democrats do even before we hear what it is. And I think that's very dangerous. I'm here to work with people who want to help the country. And if there are Democrats who are elected who are willing to work side by side on things that will improve quality of life for Americans, I will certainly be open-minded.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's see what can be done. I mean, that's the art of politics, is seeing what can be done. What is your, I mean, you've kind of given it already, but do you, some people are looking at it like it was stolen. You know, you've heard Newt Gingrich's comments, obviously, and that there was fraud. Other people are saying that, look, it's close, let's have the recounts, and we don't know where that's going to come out. But you've even made comments about not certifying the electors and, you know, on the vote of the floor. And you've kind of had a range here. So where are you on this election right now?
Well, I still want to see how the legal issues are resolved. I don't think you should short-circuit that process.
Agreed.
Because if, in fact, you know, there has been wide-scale fraud, even if it isn't enough to overturn the result of the election, you have to fix it, right? Because it might be really important for the next election. So I don't believe that we should rush to certify the electors while there are legitimate outstanding claims. I just think that we've got to use the legal process to resolve them. Look, I mean, you know, this election may not have gone the way Republicans wanted it to, but we're not going to burn anything down. We're not going to commit arson. We're not going to destroy anything. We're going to go before courts, and we're going to follow the rule of law. And I think there are a number of legal options the president has and that Republicans have. And honestly, let's hope that no matter how this turns out, we can run cleaner elections in the future. I mean, it's not good for America to have circumstances where you got postal workers on video saying, you know, to Project Veritas employees, oh, hey, let me give you some ballots to fill out. You know, I mean, those things need to be fixed. And if there are software systems that allow votes to change, if there are people who are voting in states that they don't live in anymore, again, it might not change the outcome of this election, but I think that fixing it will probably lead to better elections going forward.
Yeah, if we could just have the Florida model get used everywhere. I mean, we had the cleanest election you can possibly have, and I think what we've improved since 2000 is enormous. You know, we should be the model for the nation, really, and if they would just do it our way, I mean, everything would go quite well. The House is probably going to still be in Democrat control, but by a slimmer majority, right?
That's what it's looking like. And, you know, hell hath no fury like a slim majority in the House of Representatives. We've seen progressives and moderates blaming one another for losses, and it could be quite the ungovernable majority for Nancy Pelosi if she's unable to sort of find the center of gravity with a very small majority.
And is the Senate going to, do you think, I mean, I've been looking at it like it's probably going to be 52-46 plus 2. Is that what you think?
Very possibly, but I don't take Georgia for granted. I mean, look, I think that in the state of Georgia, we're going to have to go slug it out for these two Senate seats. And if we lose, it's Brian Kemp's fault, the governor of Georgia, because he could have had Kelly Loeffler and Doug Collins running against each other in a primary, and that way one of them would have been working to expand the franchise in the general election. It was a huge disadvantage for Republicans that you had Collins and Loeffler competing for the Trump vote, and then you have the Democrat candidate working to expand the vote and turn out new voters. Now in the runoff, you know, I don't take it for granted. I'm going to go to Georgia and campaign hard for the Republicans there, and hopefully we'll be able to have some check, because I don't want to see a world in which we just, you know, completely turn left. I think that the Senate could be an important check on the policies that concern me. Now, you know, you had George W. Bush federalize education at the beginning of his presidency. You had Barack Obama federalize health care. You had Donald Trump cut taxes. And so you wonder, what's the first big potential Biden push if he, in fact, is not inaugurated? And I think that they're going to try to use the coronavirus for some sort of, like, universal basic income, making the stimulus payments permanent. I hope that's not true, because I still think we need policies that incentivize ambition in this country, not just existence. But that is starting to be the rumbling from some of my sources in the Democratic Party as to their first big push.
Well, you just said it. Andrew Yang as Secretary of the Treasury. Okay, fair enough. I know you didn't say it, but that's kind of that's the theory. Hey, I wanted to ask you something kind of borrowing on your expertise as a lawyer, but also in your position as our representative. Obviously, you know, the deal with the bridge and with Skanska, and it is kind of a nightmare right now. But I have a question that I don't have an answer to, and I was hoping you could maybe shed some light on it. If the storm itself had taken out Three Mile Bridge, it seems to me like the implications for businesses would be a federal reimbursable, would be a damages. But because it was Skanska's barges that took out the bridge, we're now more depending on getting back from them for these businesses in Gulf Breeze. It can help me understand why, if at all, why the business losses, loss of income, are not reimbursable by the federal government, and why that's by Skanska, since they both seem to be storm-related.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I cannot imagine that Skanska is going to have the insurance to fulfill every business loss as a consequence of the bridge being out. The work we did was to ensure that the federal assistance would be there for individual payments, but it's not my expectation you know, that that we're going to have that resolved quickly, because I think there's still some liability issues that Scantia has got to work out in the legal process. So it may be a longer delay there. Right now, obviously, our focus is to just get the connectivity going again, because there's no payment. There's no litigation outcome that is going to be long-term enough to keep businesses going
right.
if we're unable to get people back and forth across the water.
No, completely agreed. And I was just curious. I didn't know the answer, and I thought maybe you would know. Last one, and this I haven't had a chance to run this down, but I've had somebody ask me to ask you, do you know anything about price gouging, price increases related to wood supplies, plywood, that kind of stuff in our area or around the region post-sale? Is that something you've heard much about, or is that that's what I know, and I'm just asking you because I thought maybe you would know.
No, we've seen a general pinch in supply access, because remember, they're still doing a lot of rebuilding in Panama City from Michael.
Right.
A lot of that money is just becoming available now. So we're sort of dealing with two compounding impacts that are affecting price, but I'll sure check in with the Attorney General and see if specifically on wood price gouging, there's a special area of concern.
All right. Like I said, I had a constituent ask me, and I told him I would ask you, so I have done so. Matt Gaetz, he is our congressman and now congressman reelect. Matt, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.